They compete hard on the field and play to win. But in real life, they serve a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show with hosts Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
And welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports ESPN Radio. Rob Motti with Doug Horton, Pastor Kyle Horner from the Connect Church in Cherry Hill, Randolph, and Philadelphia. I know it's spring training, but we have plenty of time to catch up with some baseball players at some point, right, Doug? We have the whole summer, the boys of summer.
That's right.
We'll catch up with some baseball players, but we're going to follow up our Swagger Like Us episode with T.O., Terrell Owens, and Faithful Pursuit with Ray Lewis. We're going to go from two Hall of Famers to one of the NFL's rising stars, Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
The NFL's rushing champion. 2 years in a row, the NFL had rookie rushing champions.
My brother-in-law did call that in August.
Wow.
So he just kind of
felt it. He called a third-round pick out of Toledo. He called he's going to win that?
And at that point, he was still behind Spencer Ware.
Wow.
Can he tell me the numbers for the lottery tonight?
Yeah, right? I mean,
I don't know.
Did he lay a few pennies? Maybe like you go on the
shekels.
You go.
I'm not going to say anything about that. But all I'm saying is he did call it and he was right.
Oh, that's pretty impressive.
Right, well, man,
even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
Hey, did he
right?
win his fantasy football league?
So he's in the same league as me, and he did not.
No.
So no.
So we had our draft on the Saturday after the Thursday night game.
Okay.
Right. So the Thursday night game occurred. The Chiefs beat the Patriots. Kareem Hunt had 3 touchdowns. Alex Smith had a crazy game or whatever. I had like the number 2 pick in the draft. And the rule is if you pick someone from the 2 teams who played, because you already know what they did, and you're going to have all those points in week 1, they got to be they have to start. Like you have to they can only start for you if you take them in the first 5 rounds or whatever it is.
That's complicated,
I wasted a first round. I took a first round. Well, I wouldn't say wasted. I went with Kareem Hunt in the first round and Alex Smith in the second round and rode it all the way out. Didn't win anything, but nobody cares about your fantasy football team, right? So Kareem Hunt and
One thing where only people care about their fantasy team. They don't really care about yours.
Nobody cares about you. I hate ever talking about my fantasy. We all have these stories. Oh, man, this happened. And then you call your buddies, and they're running down. I would have won, but if this guy threw one more yard. Man, every year I say, I hate fantasy football. And every year I say, I'm not going to do it again. And
it sucks right back in. But Tom Brady is not really good in those first 2 rounds.
In the first 2 weeks.
Weeks of the playoffs. Yeah, it's 2 years in a row he let me down. So.
Yeah, definitely. You gotta get lucky sometimes. It takes a whole lot of luck. One time I lost the championship to someone who was picking players down a list because of cuteness, man.
No.
Cuteness. Won a championship, though. Hey, Jay Cutler apparently was cute that year. I don't know. So, hey.
Come back into the light, boys. Come into the light.
Kareem Hunt, Jay Cutler, and all these NFL players, though, they have we all have a similar problem. We can't get to church on Sundays for about 17 to 22 weeks.
It's true.
From July to January. It's a hard thing to do, is to be able to get to church. But that's going to lead into what we want to talk about on this episode, because being a Christian isn't simply about going to church on Sunday morning. It's about striving to be like Christ every single day of your life. And for most of my life, up until 2010, I went to church 45 minutes a week every Sunday or Saturday night, and I left Jesus there. That's what I did. I went to church. I did what I had to do. I put my envelope in, and I left Jesus there. I didn't take him home with me. I didn't take him to work. I didn't take him anywhere I went. And then I learned the truth behind salvation. I accepted Christ. I invited him into my heart. I invited him into my life and everywhere I go. And you know what? By the way, guys, I speak to Jesus every day, multiple times every day. Maybe I'd say 24/7, 365. I call him my BFF. I talk to Jesus all day long. And guess what? He speaks to me too.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make me mentally ill. Jesus speaks to me,
that
doesn't make me mentally ill. It's called having a relationship with your Lord and Savior. Jesus speaks to me through Scripture. He speaks to me through sermons. He speaks to me through other believers like yourselves. He speaks to me through sermons. Through worship music. He speaks to me through worship music. He speaks to me through prayer. Sometimes he speaks to me through the circumstance of my life. Speaks to me through the Holy Spirit. So going to church, finding community with other believers who can encourage you, who hold you accountable, who lift you up, who are there for you through thick and thin, who do life with you, that's crucial. That's a crucial element But church shouldn't be a place that we visit weekly or occasionally or when our schedule allows because we're NFL football players or NFL football writers. We should be the church. We should be the church in our daily lives, and that's what we want to talk about is being the church and what that means. What that means to you, what that means to you, what that means to our listeners, how we can convey to them the importance of being the church and not just going out to a building, to a physical building, and being there. It's extremely important, very important. But it's not the same as living it out in your daily lives.
Yeah, I love the term that you use, doing life, right? These are the people that we do life with. It's not just the people that we see on Sunday, but it's people that we get texts from, calls from during the week. Maybe we get to a Bible study. Maybe our kids are going to snow camp or youth group with. And so it's people that you just go through life with. And you develop these relationships, and you get to know one another. You get to see them in their good times and in their bad times. And then, potentially, you're going to face something in your life where you need that church, the body of God, to come and surround you and lift you up and remind you to stay faithful. And so it's really just, I love the term doing life because that's really what we need to do. It's not just one day a week, but it's all aspects of our life. It's not just Sunday when we go and we worship and then we're out again, but it's really people that are going to come alongside of you and hold you accountable at all times.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, what you just said, Rob, too, is about, you know, some of these athletes struggling to have the guy, you know, NFL players can't have experiences in church on Sundays. It's obviously their work day. And so they have to be self-feeders. They have to be build those kind of iron and sharpens irons kind of relationships that we've talked about many times on the show. And but what I would say to that is I think some of those same elements that the players need in their life is also the same elements that every believer needs in their life. So being a self-feeder, making sure that you build relationships outside of that common church moment. Because let's be honest, whether your church service, Rob, like you said, was 45 minutes or it's an hour and 45 minutes, most of the time we're just sitting there. You may know the people around you, but you're really not doing life with people around you for that period of time. And so how do we do life together? How do we identify? Are we identifying church with something that we go to or something that we are? And that's always the biggest issue because God doesn't identify church as a building. He always identifies church as a people. You know, 1 Corinthians 3 says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? When Jesus talks about his church, he's talking about a group of people. He's never talking about a building. Sunday service or a Saturday service, whenever you have your service, those are important because we need corporate worship times. Mm-hmm. But the building does not make it a church.
We'll talk about that for a second, Kyle, because you know when you talk about these NFL players, you talk about baseball players, professional athletes, they do have Bible studies. They do have a community that they're involved with. And so how would you respond to somebody that would say, like, that is their church, their devotions, their time together, their fellowship? You know, they may do husband and wife Bible studies together, and they do church together. They do life together throughout the
place
week.
Of the building. Right?
As opposed to, they can't go to church.
Or a bigger
church on
sense
Sunday.
Of community, just their work community.
Correct. So it's the players on the team, their wives, their coaches, whoever might be, get together all the time. How would you respond to that when they say, hey, you know what, we do church?
It's a great question. And we've had this conversation quite often as some of my role in some of their lives. I would always say there's a difference between being discipled and being pastored. Chaplains do a great job of discipling people. Bible studies do a great job of discipling people. They instruct them. They bring the word into their life, which is great. But I think we need to be pastored. We need a bigger view of what God is doing as a corporate body. The one thing that we struggle with when it's only those type of moments, whether it's in just you're being discipled by people in your marketplace or in this case on the team,
or maybe even like, hey, I listen to podcasts all the time, and there's some great pastors that are out
or
there,
or sermons online,
it's great.
Or they listen to Faith on the Field show.
Yeah.
You know, it could be any of those.
That's why I would
it's
get back to say it's
right?
a great. It's not a replacement because you're not being pastored.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a sense we have to be a part of God leading us somewhere as a people. So God, when we look at Israel, God spoke to both individual people and to the people of Israel. He had a vision for the people of Israel and to the leaders and to individual people in Israel. It's the same way in church. So I think we always have to make sure that we understand that there's a discipleship moment and there's a pastoring moment. There's a time that we get together with people who sharpen our life, who we're living life with, and then there is an expression of being part of something bigger than myself, outside of myself, that challenges me with myself. So it's great that all the NFL players get together, but you know what? There's no single moms in that group. There's no person living on food stamps in that group.
Widows.
There's no person. Yeah. There's not. It's people
sheltered.
Who are.
It's a sheltered.
Correct. There's no immigrants who are maybe here without certain
documentation.
So there's just a bigger picture that we as men and women of God need to be sharpened with. That doesn't happen when we're in a homogeneous group. And that would be my word on. If everyone in your church looks like you, smells like you, dresses like you, there's a problem, because you're actually limiting yourself to the full picture and the kaleidoscope of God, because we need these different areas to push us, challenge us, and to actually open our eyes to stories we would not normally be around, and it doesn't mean that some of the guys on those NFL teams or Major League Baseball teams or hockey teams haven't come from certain scenarios. But there's difference between coming from something and being in something. And I think those things are needed.
It's difficult for these NFL guys on a 17 to 22 week schedule. But you look at the Major League Baseball players.
Yeah.
They play every Sunday from
so hard
from March because of spring training. They're playing every Sunday from March until the end of September. And it's really hard. So in their cases, they can't. Their families can go to these church,
correct,
can be part of a community, can be living in the church. They just can't, and they have to find a way to get that pastoring. They
correct
can get the discipleship,
yes,
but how can they get that pastoring?
It's a good, you know. We talked about this a lot, and it's such a great thing because it's not just for major league players. You know, business people travel a lot. We being in the Northeast.
In my case, I 17 to 22 weeks. I can't.
You're going to be away for a long time. So I get
Rob.
Hey, listen,
kids with my girls are going to be playing lacrosse this spring.
Correct.
All games are on Sunday.
I know.
I hate it too, by the way.
And that wasn't something that happened when I grew up, but
yeah,
it's more.
That's horrible.
What I tell the guys is this. You may not be able to be there on a Sunday, but you can always be a part of Sunday. We have podcasts. Be dedicated to listen to those things. What is God saying to the group of people that is your church? Not just across the board. Like I listen to podcasts as a pastor. I love getting word from all over. That's great. I get inspired. I get uplifted. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that I know is this. When I'm picking podcasts, I pick the ones I want to listen to. I pick the preachers I want to hear from.
When you see the topics.
Do you
and
see
the
what I'm saying? Exactly
that,
right.
Because you know
but,
the topic.
But God knows that I need, look, when I'm being pastored, there are things that a pastor is going to say to my life that I may not like to hear, but I need to hear. They're not the podcast I would have picked out to listen to, but they're the things God's speaking to his people for his people's benefit. So I think those are the things. So listen to the podcast. Make sure that you're following what's going on via Twitter or social media when you can. If there's something going on, if we're like right now in our church, we're going through a thing called 40 Days of Decrease. We're fasting. We're being a part of something. Hey, be a part of that. Read that book. It doesn't matter when. It doesn't matter where you are. Read the book.
Do you find that's good on a temporary basis? Go to your church, download the podcast, watch it live if you can or whatever on a temporary basis.
Correct.
But to be a member of a church that is outside of your living area, outside of your community, to be an online church member. It isn't quite the same because you don't have those people surrounding you. You don't have all those people around you.
Do you have online memberships, Kyle?
No, we don't have membership in our church, but I would say we have tons of people that watch us online.
Mm-hmm.
But every time, every service, we will say, hey, it's great that you're online. This is our opportunity to connect with
part
you.
Of your
but this does not take the place of being in the house. And find a look. If you can't make it to one of our campuses, find a local Bible believing church.
But
you
make a point of saying,
"Oh,
that
absolutely."
You guys make a point
because
of saying,
because Rob, I don't believe.
Right.
I don't. There's the corporate body of Christ. That's mm-hmm. the universal body of Christ. And then there's the local church that God uses to shape and build His people for the elevation of a community. So we can't miss the point. Being the church, part of being the church isn't just what we get out of it. Part of being the church is our call in that community to elevate that community. Rob, you can't do that you know, if you're here
yeah.
and the church you're trying to belong to is in California,
right?
It's great. You're going to get some great preaching from the people in California. You're going to get inspired, but it's not part of the word church is the Greek word ecclesia. It actually means a movement of people who are headed in a common direction for a common cause. A common group of people headed in a common direction for a common cause. It's not a group of people who listen to the same message, who believe the same theology, who sing the same worship songs. Are we headed in the right direction? It's a movement of people. How are we moving if we're not part of something locally? Now, again, I'm not saying that if your business takes you away on those like yours does, if the players, of course, they're not less than. That's just part of God's plan for them in that. It just means they have to work harder to stay connected more locally, where I will say the local church needs to has to work harder to stay connected globally. So the local church, because all we do and local church,
caught up in
correct.
Your own little
what's
community.
Going on right here in my community is this the universal, you know, the global approach, mm-hmm. where sometimes the guys who travel over the place, they have a much bigger perspective of what, mm-hmm. you know, life and global perspective is and miss it. So it's not an either or, it's an end both.
I get a lot of people who come up to me and sometimes they say, you know, I don't know how to pick the right church. I don't know which way, you know, which church is right for me. I had this conversation last week with someone who told me they went through a two-year process before finding the right church for them. And sometimes, you know, if you have children, we have children, and it's important for us to have something for the kids. First of all, you don't want them sitting in there and disrupting if they're young enough, whatever it is. I'd love for them to be part of it, but you also want them to have some Sunday school. You also want that. So it could be a process. Hey, I guess for some people it might take 2 years to figure out where they want to make their church home. What advice would you give other than finding a church, going to a church, being part of the community? And I know you're not going to say it. I'm going to tell people go to Connect Church in Cherry Hill, Philly, or Randolph. You would never say that. But what advice would you give for people in their selection process?
That's a great question. I think we're looking. It's a tough thing to answer, Rob, because I would take it from the other perspective. I would say, you started off the show saying, "My God speaks to me." If my God speaks to me, my God leads me. The Holy Spirit is my guide and my counselor. I think so often we choose churches out of preference.
Yes.
Rather than out
personal
of,
preference.
Yeah, than out of the principle of listening to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Because here's the problem. When you choose out of preference, those things are going to change. Church changes. Life changes. And so what we end up doing is saying, oh, man, church isn't the same way it was when I got here. Well, it shouldn't be. But when you actually understand that the Holy Spirit leads you to places that may not actually be according to your preference, but because of the things God's trying to work out in you and work in you for your own benefit, a lot of those times don't come out of preference. When I pick out of preference, I'm picking what I like. What I like doesn't challenge me. So there are certainly qualifications. I would say, you know, Bible, is it founded in the Word of God? Is it Christ and Christ alone that's salvation? You know, I mean, are people inclusive or is it an exclusive community? I mean, there are certain those things, but I don't think we do pick out of those things. I think we pick out of worship styles, preaching styles, congregational
age,
makeup. Yeah. Does it reflect my gender, my socioeconomic background, my political views?
Can I sneak in,
sneak out?
You know,
do my friends go here? Do I know anybody?
How short? How long? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Do they have the kids' programs?
And what kind of worship music do they have?
If you're making a decision based to go in church and where your friend goes to church, when your friend leaves, you'll leave. And that's why we have so much transient Christianity today, because it's not based on having an experience with the Holy Spirit. And I don't believe the Holy Spirit's going to take 2 years. A lot of times it's not the Holy Spirit. It's that we haven't actually been asking, listening, and maybe I don't mean to impugn your friend. That's not what I mean at all. I mean, sometimes I'm sure it can, but.
Well, most of the time the qualifications are what can church do for me?
All the time.
And, you know, hearing a lot of pastors in the past too, they would say, you know, what can you do for the church? And a lot of times people are looking to be served as opposed to serve themselves. And you know, that kind of helps your decision. What opportunities does your church offer me to serve? Right.
That's
a bigger deal. How can I get acquainted with the community?
Well, I think it's again, both of those are and both. You know, my picture is always Joseph and Pharaoh. You know, Joseph had a dream, but it wasn't until he released Pharaoh's dream that his dream was realized. So in every relationship, in our marriages, at church, we should be both Pharaoh and Joseph. We should have a dream that we recognize we need others to help release, but we're not there just to have our dream released. We're also there to be Joseph, to help someone else's dream be released. And I think when we can, when we understand that, that's what life in Christ looks like. I didn't come to be served, Jesus said, but to serve and give my wife life away as a ransom for other people. Then we'll choose on a very different level. I think maybe some of the questions we should ask are, hey, how are we making a difference in our community?
How are we being the church?
How are we being the church? Yeah. How are we making a difference in our community? Yeah. Absolutely. And that, you know, so
it's not about the building that you're going to. It's about what you're taking, what you're putting into it, what you're taking from whatever sermon you may hear that week, what the encouragement, the inspiration that you're getting from your community of believers surrounding you, and how are you living it out in your daily lives? Because if you're going home and you do what I did for a bunch of years and it was leaving church and leaving Christ there, not taking him home with you, not inviting him into your life, not having him affect the way you live your life. If Christ doesn't affect the way you live your life, you might want to reconsider not the church that you're going to, but what you're getting out of it, because you're not willing to take the lessons that you're learning. You're not willing to accept everything that you're being taught, that you're being groomed in, that you're learning, that you're and applying it to your daily life, because Christ has to affect the way you live your life.
Absolutely.
Has to affect your daily decisions, has to affect everything that you do. If you're not thinking, you know, a lot of times we say, oh, what would Jesus do? It's not a cliche, what would Jesus do? It should really be, as I'm approaching a decision to make, as I'm approaching something that's tough, or whether it's what would Christ do in a situation? How would he want me to respond? How am I being the church to the people around me? If I'm going off and acting all crazy and doing my thing, am I really reflecting him in my daily life?
Let me add one thing to that, Rob, because I think you're right on to something, but Jesus said in Matthew 16, I will build the church. So what is Jesus doing? He is building it. We don't have to even ask the question, what would Jesus do? We have to ask the question, what is Jesus doing? He's there. He's in your marketplace. What's he doing? He's in that. He was at that coffee place where I know in one of the episodes we talked about, one woman interacting with another woman. So the question is, he's there. What is he doing? Is he responding to that person the same way you're responding? When you walk past the homeless person on the street, it's not, oh, I should because Jesus would. And if I don't, I'm not like Jesus. Or if I do, I'm like Jesus.
We'll never be like
Jesus. No, because we do the right thing for the wrong place. Yeah. All those things. It's what is he doing? And I think when we begin to ask those questions, we take it out of the law and we bring it back to relationship. I don't ever have to ask. Like when Danielle invites me for dinner, my wife invites me to say, come on for dinner. I'm not sitting here going, you know what? What would Danielle do? Would she eat? Would she not eat? Would she pick up the fork? Would she not pick? Why? Because she's there. She invited me to have dinner with her. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sit down and have dinner. I get my clues off of what she's doing. I eat when she eats, right? I don't have to think. And that's Christ invited us to a life. He's living life with us. He's not doing it. We're not trying to impress him. What is he doing all around you? How is he looking at that person? How is he looking at that person? It'll change the way that we do life when we recognize that we are not doing it for Jesus. We're doing it with Jesus, not just as a cliche. It'll change the way that we begin to approach seeing things, responding to things, how we should live out our lives, what we should or shouldn't engage with. Is Jesus, it's not, would Jesus walk into that club? Is Jesus walking into that club?
Is he there?
Right? Is he in there? hey, it's all right. So
that ain't Jesus. That's Jesus in there, right?
Exactly. So there's some Jesus in there.
Somebody said one time, I heard somebody said he came out of jail and he said, I saw Jesus in jail. And the guy answered, I think this was a baseball player. And he's like, that wasn't Jesus. That was Jesus, your Spanish cellmate. But you can't take Jesus and put him where you think you want want him to be at that particular moment. You know where Jesus is going to be. When we come back, we're going to hear from Kansas City Chiefs running back Kareem Hunt. You're listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
If you shake hands with difference makers around the world, you'll meet alumni from Eastern University in every profession. Our courageous graduates are CEOs, mayors, social entrepreneurs, and Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year finalists. What makes the difference? Eastern alums have been shaped by a powerful combination of academic excellence, Christian values, and professors who truly care. Join our influential community online in Center City or on the main line. Visit eastern.edu/courage.
Hi, I'm Rob Motti. Every day you listen to the news, but how is that news affecting your financial world? Will an upswing in Asia affect your retirement investments? Will a drought halfway around the world dry up your income? You might not feel the immediate effects of every world event, but you do need to keep a close eye on your finances in these times of change. Rick Santella can help you do that.
Thanks, Rob. Hi, I'm Rick Santella, a financial advisor with Morgan Stanley. I'm right here in the Philadelphia region, and I have more than 35 years of experience and the resources to help you keep moving forward. Asset allocation, retirement planning, wealth management, these are all areas I can help you stay on top of.
To make an appointment with Rick, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meeting with Rick Santella could be the most important event of your day.
Asset allocation does not guarantee a profit or protect against a loss. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
And we're back with Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio. Rob Motti with Doug Horton, Pastor Kyle Horner. Our theme is Be the Church. I had an opportunity to sit down with Kansas City Chiefs running back Kareem Hunt, who was the NFL's rushing champion as a rookie. The interview with Kareem Hunt is presented by Rick Santella of Morgan Stanley. Call 215-854-6018 to make an appointment with Rick to take care of all your financial needs.
Kareem, tell me about your faith and how that's laid the foundation for you and for all the success you've had in the NFL already.
You know, definitely I believe in God, and I have a lot of faith in myself. And, you know, my grandmother always makes me, you know, call the pastor when, because I'm not able to make it to church all the time. And we'll all be on the phone, put him on speaker, and we'll all say a prayer and just listen to him and just, you know, praying for me to stay healthy and things like that. So, you know, I definitely feel like I'm blessed and thankful for everything I came up from and, you know, just to be in this position.
What was that like for you growing up in that environment with your grandma? Because sometimes you don't have that to fall back on. You don't have that kind of background where somebody's supportive like that and encouraging you to look to God, look for a higher power.
Yeah, honestly, it was just, you know, it was really crazy because every time I woke up in the morning, my grandma would be up at like 6:30 and she'd be listening to gospel music in the living room, just, you know, sitting there drinking her coffee. And honestly, I smelled the breakfast cooking, and, you know, I just, you know, every time I woke up and heard gospel, I knew it was time to get up. You know, it's just, I go out there and sit out there with her for a little bit and talk to her, and she was like, "You up early?" And she always knew I got up early. My brother liked to sleep in, but I was a guy who always used to get up early.
But are there any guys on the team? Like, do you guys do Bible study, get together, have some kind of encouragement like that?
We do all that stuff. We do that chapel before the game and stuff like that. So, you know, we all get together, and then we, like, probably a good 25 minutes before the game, we all, you know, make sure we get in and say a prayer. And one person, you know, we all circle up, like, pretty much the whole team, and we'll say one person to say a prayer for all of us.
Awesome.
And that was Kareem Hunt, Kansas City Chiefs running back, won the NFL rushing championship as a rookie this season. That interview with Kareem Hunt is presented by Rick Santella of Morgan Stanley. Call 215-854-6018 to make an appointment with Rick to take care of all your financial planning. Kareem said his grandma, I love how so many athletes are influenced by their grandparents.
Truth.
You know, it's something that if you come from a in T.O.'s situation, when we talked to him a couple weeks back, he came from a home where he didn't have a father, but his grandma was the most influential person in his life. And a lot of times You need one person who can in your household, one person who can lead you to the Lord. Doesn't mean that they, you're going to take on the values that they believe in. You're not going to. It's not your religion. It's their religion, and that you're going to take that on. But somebody's got to lay that foundation for you. And he says that his grandmother makes him, because he's playing a game, talk to the pastor, and they pray together and make sure that he's getting a little bit of that. And they have the Bible studies. And we talk a lot about the athletes that we know. The Philadelphia Eagles have a big community of believers on that team. And they get together so many times during the season on their way to winning the Super Bowl championship last season, getting together for Bible study, couples Bible study, things that they do at the facility, things they do outside the facility, but still together in community. It doesn't replace going to a church. It doesn't replace being in a community of believers, but it is being the church. It is being that, taking the church outside of the building and taking it into your daily lives.
You know, sometimes it's, you know, as a rookie in the NFL, there's a lot of fanfare, there's a lot of media, there's a lot of attention, especially when you break out the way Kareem Hunt did last season. You know, when you break out for 3 touchdowns in your very first game, and you're just basically, you know, the talk of the nation at that
yeah,
point, right?
Absolutely.
So you can get easily distracted, but it's interesting that he comes back to the fact that how his grandmother brought him up and how that's an important piece to his life. And sometimes we, you know, maybe it's not the right way. Maybe the heart's in the right place, but we kind of look at our relationship with Christ as the church.
Yes.
You know, we kind of look at Sunday as going to church as that's my relationship, that I can't forget Sunday school. I can't forget church service. So I have to continue to do that, but it's still praying to God at that point. And so I think when you become more of a mature Christian down the road and you really do life with people that refine you at a deeper level, you understand that the church is more than just being in a building. It's more of a relationship with other people. It's growing. It's having that vision you were talking about earlier, Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jesus says in Revelation 2, he's talking to the church of Ephesus, and he said, look, you're doing all these great things. You've endured hardship. You've gone through persecution. You've been patient with people. And then in verse 4, he said, but this one thing I have against you, you've lost your first love. And you know, it's
that's
so easy
point,
to be,
yeah.
You know, well, wait a minute, because what God's looking for, what is the greatest commandment? Love God and love others. we can't just love God. It's just me and God. And I can't just love God in church, in a building, in a moment. It's the expression of God is how do I express love upward and outward on a continual bit. That's a lifestyle. It's not a moment. So we always want to make church a moment. I go to church. No. I am the church. Therefore, church is how today do I love upward and outward? How do I love God even more, take one step toward loving him, and loving that person at the office who is that extra grace required person. We all have them, right? That drives us crazy. We're not going to love them perfectly today, but how do I help them take one more step? How do I express that love on the subway, on my way in? Not in a weird way, not in a stand on a street corner with a bullhorn type of way that we saw when we were out in the Super Bowl in Minnesota, which drove me crazy, condemning people. But
I didn't see that.
Oh, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so bad.
Wow.
I mean, people on like 4 or 5 corners. There were people at the parade, by the way, that were doing it as well.
Really?
Yeah. It was sad.
They were out there condemning people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yes. I was told that I was a preacher. This is what they were saying. All these pastors who stand in their pulpit on Sunday morning and smoke a doobie when they go home at Sunday night, that y'all are going to hell. I didn't know that I was smoking doobies on Sunday night, but I guess that's what he said when I walked by. So, okay, it was great.
Wow.
But you know, it's interesting because people sometimes have a bad experience with the church, whether it's the people in the church, whether it's the pastor that they see as a hypocrite that's not living out what they're preaching from the pulpit.
Sure.
And so a lot of people look at the church building and anybody that goes to the church as a bad thing. And so they liken the mistakes that maybe a pastor made or people in the congregation, that they didn't get treated right. Nobody greeted them when they walked in the door. They didn't feel like they were welcomed to a relationship with Christ. Well, if the church doesn't accept me, if those people, the pastor doesn't accept me, or I don't get what I want from that church, then, you know, then the whole relationship with Christ goes down the drain too.
Yeah, I mean, I
that's
think
selfish, isn't it?
I will say,
self-serving.
I will simply say that I think sometimes there are people have legitimate experiences. I've certainly been to church services where I wasn't welcome for various reasons.
Well, people mess up the church all the time,
but church is people. So what I will say to that is simply this. if something is valuable to you, you keep pursuing it. And so, you know, people have always come to me and said, I've been hurt by the church, so I've stopped going. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, I don't diminish their experience, because many times people hurt people,
very
right?
True,
sheep
true.
Bite, right? That is just true. People hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. And that's what the church is made of. And leadership's not perfect, including the one that's on the radio right now. I'm not. So I'm going to make mistakes. I tell our church all the time, I have more opportunity to let you down than anyone else you know. I have more opportunity for you to be offended with in church than anyone else, because I'm the one in front of you all the time. But what I'll say is this. If something's valuable enough, you keep pursuing it. I've never met somebody who said that to me, who when I've asked them, hey, have you ever had a bad meal at a restaurant? And they've said yes. And I said, stop going to restaurants. Hey, did you ever have an accident in a car? Have you stopped driving cars? Have you ever had a bad boss? Do you keep working? All of them keep doing those things because they understand the value of food. They understand the value of a car. They understand the value of work. So I'm not saying they even have to stay at the same job or stay at the same go back to the same restaurant.
Right.
But you don't impugn an entire group by the experience of a few moments. So I don't throw out restaurants because I had a bad experience at a restaurant. I don't throw out.
Can you imagine? You have a bad experience at a restaurant and say, I'm never going to eat out
right,
again.
Because all food is important. Bad. Or stop
actually,
eating.
Actually, I felt that way a few weeks back. I felt that way a few weeks back when I don't know, my stomach was a little upset. I was like, I'm never eating out again.
Yeah.
And then you go back again.
You're going to go back. And Rob, to take it even further, the truth is when we make this analogy, it would be, I had a bad experience at a restaurant. I'm never eating food again.
Ooh.
Because that's Jesus is do. Food. And Jesus is life. And I get it. I've been, to be honest. Yeah. I've been hurt in church probably, pastors are hurt by church more than almost anybody else that you could ever experience, because people leave church all the time, and people write stuff about you all the time, and you are never making people happy at any point in time. You have to literally go every Sunday and realize there's going to be people here who are never going to come back, who are going to use you as an excuse for not whatever they want to do with not walking with God. So I get it.
You're getting more complaints than praise.
I get it. I get it.
Is that a comment?
And I can't. I got to be honest with you. There's been many times that I've wanted to walk away. Many times. Mm-hmm. But he's too valuable. This thing called the kingdom is too valuable. The king is too valuable. Jesus isn't doing anything other than building his church. So if he's building his church, I find him there. That's where he is. I don't mean just in a building, but amongst his people. And he who isolates himself rages against all wisdom. He sets himself up for destruction, Proverbs 18 says. I don't want to do that. I know that life is only found in the body of believers.
Well, I think when we look back at, when we look at the numbers of how they say, well, millennials, the numbers of millennials who are going to church now is so low, and it's lower than any other generation. That all comes from, most of it, a lot of it, is bad experiences. They've had bad experience in church. They've had bad experiences in the building. They've had a bad experience with the people, whether they were surrounding them or whether it was leadership there. And they did what you were saying about, okay, you never had a bad meal. You're never going to eat again. They gave up on. They didn't just stop going to that church. They stopped going to any church. And that's why it's unfortunate to see numbers like that have declined, based on things maybe 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago that people experienced as youngsters, and they're not willing to open their minds or really think about, well, what is more important to me? Is, as you said, the value of that relationship with Christ or whatever I want to do any given Sunday?
Kyle, we talked about this earlier today, how you're saying how God sent the very best in Jesus, in order to save us, because he loved us so much.
Yeah,
and he
correct.
Kept pursuing us all the time. And he sent, you know, Jesus, not an angel,
Michael, not Gabriel. Yeah, right.
But he sent the very best as a sacrifice to come down for us. And, you know, we kind of take that and we think of an athlete, right? What if an athlete has a bad coach? Do they just stop playing?
Correct.
What if an athlete loses a game, right? What if they have a bad experience where the referees just hose them completely? Right? There's always going to be some resistance, but how do you persevere? And if it means that much to you, and as you said, the kingdom is that valuable.
Yeah.
One, that Christ came and died for us, so it shows his commitment to us. But how much should we overcome when we face obstacles, when we face those difficult situations? And are we just going to let somebody's bad treatment of us help negate all that Christ did for us?
Yeah, I will even say, and I think what you just said, Doug's brilliant. I think what we also need to understand is that the kingdom of God is built on this thing called forgiveness and grace, and that.
Well, we want forgiveness and grace, but we don't want to extend it.
And that's
right?
What I'm saying. Many times we have to find ourselves in positions constantly where we have to continue to extend grace when it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
Because when God, nothing that we've done to God did not cause him pain. From the greatest to the smallest act of rebellion, it caused God pain. So grace and forgiveness are only experienced in environments of pain. So when we try to remove ourselves from environments of pain and think that we're going to grow in areas that actually reflect the kingdom, we're actually not. We're stunning our growth. We literally have put a lid on our growth with God and our maturity in lots of areas with God. I think, too, Rob, you just said about the millennial generation. I do think a lot of millennials are struggling. But I think the reason that a lot of millennials are struggling is because as church, the church body as a whole, especially in America, we are only comfortable reaching our generation. We're comfortable talking to our generation. We understand that our generation pays for church, so we don't want to ostracize that generation. Instead of understanding that God is a generational God and teaching church how to actually embrace a generational God, saying, no, we have to honor those who have come before us. We honor the past. We actually equip the people that are here now, Abraham, Isaac, and then actually we have to resource the Jacobs. That's actually, so we can't just create church that speaks to our generation, embraces our generation, makes sure that, pacifies our generation. We have a saying at Connect that says, everybody is equally welcome and everybody should be equally challenged. Every generation is equally welcome. I don't care if you have blue hair, green hair, pink hair, no hair. I don't care if you have nose rings, right? Earrings. I don't care if you are white, black, Hispanic, or Asian. You're going to find somebody like you in our congregations. But I want every generation to be equally welcome and every generation to be equally challenged. But that takes a commitment. That means everybody, no one's going to sit in there and go, man, I'm so glad every worship song we do is exactly the kind of worship songs we want. Nope.
You're going to have some people in there who don't like it and some people who do like it.
I mean, look, at the end, I want everybody to feel like, hey, I didn't, I would prefer this song over that song. I would prefer this pastor over that pastor. That's why we change people who speak to them as well, because it's important for people to be challenged. Growth only happens when you're uncomfortable. Faith only exists. Can we agree? Faith only exists in the uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
Right. So you can only walk on water. The storm when you're in the storm. Right. You can only get out of the boat. You got to get out of the boat to walk on the water. So it only happens in the uncomfortable. So here's the problem: we try as church to create a comfortable environment for people, and then complain people aren't growing in faith.
All I hear you say, awesome points, and it's brilliant, but on a lighter side, all I think about is Robin, is germ phobia, that you should expose yourself to germs in order to get a little stronger.
I should?
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
absolutely
true.
Yeah, right. We break ourselves down, and then we build ourselves back up again, when we're exposed to tough times. Absolutely.
Okay. I like it.
So, we've done some road trips before. So I was, just thinking of you, Rob. I'm just trying to help you out.
Right,
Kyle, that's great. The more that we're exposed, the more that we're challenged, the more that we grow.
But I think, Doug, if all the church, getting back to what Rob said in the very beginning, the problem is when we come in and try to pick church off of what we feel is preference.
Yeah.
We don't pick churches that make us uncomfortable in the areas of faith. We pick churches that make us comfortable, and that stunts our growth. I'm not talking about unbiblical. I'm not talking about hypocritical. I'm not talking about, all those things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that, man, if you're not uncomfortable a little bit on a Sunday morning, you might want to ask the Holy Spirit a question. That's all I'm saying. If you're not a little...
That's a great point.
You got to feel that pull. You got to feel that push. You got to feel something tugging at you. Something that has to be affecting you. It has to change. It has to want to make you make a difference, make a change, make something to come out of what you're learning. When we come back, though, guys, I want to get into this, what I talked about a little bit at the top about Jesus speaks to me. I speak to him. He speaks to me, too. And that's, I said what I had to say about it, but we'll get back into it and tell everybody out there, because sometimes to some people, this concept might be foreign. They might look at it and go like, what do you mean? How does that happen to you? So let's get into that a little bit when we come back. You're listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Rob Motti. Make a difference, be a blessing is the sign-off I use every time I finish a radio show. But it's not just a cute saying or a catchphrase. These are words I try to live by. It's who I am. It's the legacy I want to leave behind. That's why Remy and I have started Remy and Rob Be a Blessing Foundation. Our passion is helping underprivileged youth and trafficking victims. Human trafficking is the second largest criminal industry in the world after drug dealing, and stats say it's the fastest growing. It's not just happening in faraway places in third world countries. Arrests have been made right here in the Delaware Valley in recent months. The victims of these evil crimes need help restarting their lives and dealing with the trauma. There's also a shortage of shelters for survivors. If you'd like to help, check out BeABlessingFoundation.com and please consider making a tax-deductible donation. Thank you.
Dan Higgins Wood Flooring is the number one retailer of wood flooring in South Jersey. They have the best and most popular brands, including Bruce, Armstrong, Mirage, Johnson, Mercier, and more. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring has better pricing and service for flooring than the big box stores. Plus, you would be supporting a local business in the community since 1985. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring provides support for your do-it-yourself project, including expert advice and free equipment rental. Contractors can bring their customers to Dan Higgins Wood Flooring showrooms in Medford and Sicklerville. Special discounts are available for contractors and builders. They offer free local job site delivery and installation services are also available. Check out their website at danhiggins.com or call Dan Higgins Wood Flooring at 609-953-7766.
Faith on the Field show with Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Kyle Horner. So we are discussing Be the Church today. So we had on Kareem Hunt from the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, Kyle, we're talking a little bit about hearing voices and listening to God. So, you know, you mentioned something when we were on the break about we're always listening to a voice.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, Rob started the show off with talking about, you know, the some of the national commentary that's been going on for a while.
If you say that you speak, if you say that Jesus speaks to you, some people might think you're mentally ill because you say that. And how I said it was that Jesus speaks to me through every day. He speaks to me through scripture. He speaks to me through sermons. He speaks to me through other believers,
absolutely,
like yourself, through community, through fellowship. He speaks to me through the Holy Spirit, ultimately, through my circumstances, through things going on around me, through worship music. So that's how Jesus speaks to me. It's not like I hear a voice or see a light in front of me. He speaks to me through different ways. The idea is foreign to some people, and it makes them think that it's that we're crazy if we say that. But to me, it's a relationship thing. That's an idea that's been put out there, a perception, and I know a lot of people have been critical of the person who made that comment, but we just want to explain it to everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I think first of all, every person hears voices, and I don't mean to impugn anyone who actually struggles with multiple personality disorder or schizophrenia. We're not talking about that at all.
No.
But every person in our world says that they hear voices. They just say it differently. They say, "I followed my heart. I just listened to my intuition." Well, what are those things? Those are voices that you hear. What is an intuition? It's something inside of you telling you something is right or wrong. What is following my heart? It's something inside of you telling you, speaking to your inside. So, you know, when our vice president says he hears, you know, he speaks to Jesus and Jesus talks back, or when you listen to a Christian and they're saying those things, it's not as abnormal as people would want you to believe is abnormal. Christians just believe and know that it's not just intuition. It's not just my heart. There are things that are my heart. There are things that are my intuition. But there's also a voice inside of me called the Holy Spirit. There's also a voice inside of me called the voice of the Father, the voice of Jesus. Jesus said in John 10, my sheep know my voice. If it's a relationship, there's communication. He speaks quietly in a still small voice into our heart. He speaks through his word. You're right, Rob. He speaks through other people, you know, other Christians. He speaks in our circumstance. He speaks into the storms. And so we actually hear his speak there as well.
He speaks to me every episode through you, Pastor Kyle.
I appreciate that, buddy.
Every episode.
Well, I'm hoping it's Jesus.
I'm walking away. You know, it's one thing for a non-believer to make a comment like that. But I will tell you this. I've had circumstances. I've had situations where people that I know go to church, mm-hmm. Profess to be Christians, who find that idea laughable, who say, aha, yeah, what are you talking about? Like, you're crazy. Or they mock other people who say that Jesus talks to them. It's happened. Like, I will hear it for saying what I said. There are people who will say to me, like, you're not. And these are people who profess to be Christians. And I would think that they should reexamine their belief structure. You know, take a look at, okay, if you can profess to be a Christian and you don't feel that you can have a relationship with Christ and speak to him and have him speak back to you, you might want to reexamine what you feel about your faith.
I think that you outlined it right in that God speaks in a multitude of mediums.
Yeah.
Right? And so even the circumstances that occur when you're praying for something and God answers you, how does he answer you? It may be by allowing circumstances to happen, bringing people into your lives. Maybe he speaks to you even when you're not asking him for something. And sometimes we always think that, like, I requested something and God gave me an answer for this. But God gives us people that come into our lives that give us a message. And maybe it's hearing it from one person. Then it's hearing it on a sermon on a Sunday afternoon, or then you hear it in a podcast, and then you have worship songs that are just relaying the same message. And as you start to pay attention to that, and as you start to seek out God's answer too through scripture, he'll give you scripture that's going to allow your mind to start to form around a decision that potentially you need to make, and he'll show you a way. So a lot of times when we get critical of it, it's a matter of saying, well, God spoke to me. People think that it's an audible voice that pokes its head out of heaven and just
comes into our
earphones, right? But it's all the signs that God gives you in many different ways to give you clarity and to give you confidence that this is the way that God's leading you.
Yeah. I'm going to give you an example real quick about when we went to Iowa, right, Doug?
Mm-hmm.
And we were about to go in and hold this men's conference, Chalk Talk, at Free Evangelical Church of Keokuk. I was debating a couple different Bible verses to highlight in one of my topics, in my first one. And I had two that I was debating, I was going back and forth with, and I wanted to highlight one of them. So I happened to decide to take a break from preparation, and I turned on a sermon. And I'm listening to this pastor preach, and the one verse that I wanted to highlight that was number one on my list is what he dedicated his entire sermon to. I was like, well, that to me, okay, to this crazy person here, that's Jesus speaking to me saying, there you go, there's your answer, okay? You could have chosen, I didn't know when I selected it, what the topic was going to be in that sermon, and that's what it was. And I said, all right, I'm just going to go with this. Now, he highlighted it in a different way than I was going to go into it, and I still did it, took it my way. He took it a different way, but I was like, okay, that's my confirmation from Christ that this is what I'm supposed to do. And that's kind of how we're talking about. You speak to him, he speaks back to you through different means.
And isn't it cool, and Kyle, I want to ask you a question at the end of this too, but you know, if you're ever speaking or maybe you're just talking to somebody and you're like, God, give me the words to say. And then you say the words. Sometimes you don't even remember what you were saying.
A lot of times you don't remember.
Most of the times when I don't remember anything, I know that it was God and I feel even better about that, right? Yeah. But that's a confidence also. But you don't get the answer right there saying, hey, high five, like that was great, that was from God. But down the road, somebody else will come back to you and say, hey, you know, those words really spoke to me. And maybe they came into church saying, God, speak to me today. He opens their heart, and then God just delivers that message. And so we're just communicators of what God has
conduits.
To say.
Yeah.
Conduit's a great word. You know, and as a pastor, I'm sure you struggle with that. God, is this the proper message? Is this what you want me to preach today? Let it fall on ears that need to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, Doug, definitely, that's a burden that I think most ministers carry. I think at some level, since the more I've grown, I've just come to the place where I go, look, the word goes forth, it doesn't come back void. And so my job is just to be faithfully handling the word of God and presenting it in a clear way. It's not my job to actually make sure that someone obeys it, follows it, or even accepts it. And so I think Rob, you had said, you know, people even confessing Christians sometimes struggle with this. And I think the problem is, and we've talked about this before, but we make ourselves the standard. So if I'm not comfortable, if I've never heard from God and I don't really, you know, I think that little weird wigs me out, then if I have to accept the fact that God speaks to other people and not to me, then that makes me less than. It makes me less valuable. And so it's easier for me just to simply say, that's ridiculous, that's stupid. Yeah, let's laugh it off.
Yeah.
And rather than allowing the word of God to challenge me. And when we're praying, I think the question is, are you praying for something or to someone? If you're praying for something, which I think many times people do, hey, here's my list and I'm going to pray for, then it's you're just phoning in your, like when I call for my pizza order, right? I don't really care. Like, I'm not asking the dude on the other end how he's feeling, what's going on, do you have any advice in my life? I call for my pizza order.
Imagine
I tell him what I want.
If you did ask that, how that would be received.
Exactly. No, it wigged him out.
Hey, I got to get to the next call, man.
But see, God's not my pizza delivery man.
Yeah.
God is a person. When I have a conversation with you guys, when we start a conversation, we talk. So there's give and take in that moment. So if we're going to pray to someone, there we should be expecting a voice back. If God doesn't speak, then we have to recognize a few things. Jesus was crazy because he's in the garden, right? And he says, not my will, but your will be done.
Your will.
How does he know his will? There was no, he wasn't reading a scripture at that moment. There wasn't a sign in the sky. He was in prayer alone, sweating blood, crying out to the Father, and the Father was answering him. And you may say, well, that was just Jesus. Awesome. Then we have to throw out the entirety of the Bible, because every prophet wrote down what they heard from God. The men, Paul says, I who's saying this, but Jesus is saying this. The entirety of scripture is written based off of the Holy Spirit speaking to men and women of faith. So we just have to recognize, like, if we're going to believe the Bible, then we also have to believe that God speaks to us. I'm going to say, and I'm sure that people will mock this. There have been a few times in my life that have been monumental times in my life that I feel like I have heard God audibly speak to me. That's not every day. It's not every year. It's not every, audibly speak to me like we're speaking here. Those moments have been the most challenging times of my life and the most valuable things I'll ever hold on to. So people can think I'm crazy. That's all right. But those words were the things that made me step into planting the churches that we've planted, taking the steps of faith that we've had to, take, walking out my marriage the way that I've walked it out. Those audible words. Now that audible word can't ever go against the written word, right? But I he speaks to me in his word. He speaks to me in my heart. But there have been those times, and I'm not afraid to say it, and people can think I'm crazy all that I want, but those things have given me the framework to live out a life of faith.
Amen. A lot of people think we're crazy for a lot of things that
you
we do,
right.
But hey, we're not here to please man. We're not here to please other people. We're here to do what is service to the Lord, and that's going to wrap it up for our episode, Be the Church. It's so vital, so important, so crucial that we go out there and we live our lives to be the church every single day. It's awesome to go to the building. It's great to be there. It's very, it's a major part of our lives to be in that community, to surround yourself with people that you are, as Doug loves to say, doing life with, but being that and taking that outside of the church and doing it every day of your lives and living it, striving to live that way is what we're hoping to try to accomplish, all of us. That's what we're striving for. If you've missed any of our previous episodes, we're up to 47 now. You can catch us on iTunes, subscribe to Faith on the Field. You could download and listen at your convenience. You could also follow us on all forms of social media. Check out our website, faithonthefieldshow.com. Catch up on past episodes. I want to thank all of our sponsors, Eastern University, Rick Santella from Morgan Stanley, Dan Higgins, Wood Flooring. Thank you to Pastor Scott. Thank you to Bree, Dakota, and Sal. Thank you to Kareem Hunt for joining us on this episode. A big thanks to our wives, Remy, Chris, and Danielle, for allowing us the time to be able to spend this with you guys. Thank you to producer Ryan Lennox behind the glass. For Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.